Good morning. It's 8 a.m. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. The state has finalized grants to help 13 rural movie theaters make the switch to digital projectors. As Benta Berkland reports, by the end of this year, the movie industry will no longer be releasing movies on film, and theaters around the country must either make the conversion to digital or close their doors.
The Office of Economic Development is putting up $200,000 to help rural theaters. Jeff Kraft is the Director of Business Funding and Incentives.
These are small businesses, mom-and-pop businesses in struggling smaller towns that have been hit by fires, droughts, and floods, and we really feel great about helping them upgrade their technology and sustain their future.
It costs between $40,000 and $75,000 for theaters to convert to digital. Even with the grants, theaters will still need to raise the bulk of the money on their own. Joe Maketa owns the Sands Theater in Brush. He needs to come up with an additional $30,000.
It's getting harder and harder to get the film product because the companies are going to digital, and everything's going to be on computers and so forth.
Most of the state's independent theaters have made the digital conversion, but several theaters that failed to come up with the money have already closed. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And the Paradise Theater in Paonia recently announced it was awarded a $20,000 matching grant opportunity from the state. Details on that grant are still being developed. Despite earlier election results, officials say a five-year fracking moratorium in Broomfield along the Front Range has passed by just 17 votes. The question was one of four anti-fracking measures on ballots in Boulder, Lafayette, and Fort Collins. The measures passed in those towns, but early results from Broomfield showed the fracking moratorium there being voted down by only 13 votes. That margin was close enough to warrant an automatic recount under state law. But after counting some outstanding ballots, election officials say the results had switched and the moratorium had been approved. Still, as the Broomfield Enterprise reports, the results are still close enough that a mandatory recount will continue to take place. Following what some say is a trend across Colorado, Mesa County is seeing an uptick in the number of students being expelled for possession of drugs. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, those expulsions had been on a downward trend since the 2010-2011 school year, but have increased slightly since the start of this school year. All of the 19 offenses so far this year in Mesa County School District, 51 have involved marijuana. District Superintendent Steve Schultz told the Sentinel he's not sure whether the increase has anything to do with the state's medical marijuana laws or the newly legalized retail marijuana industry. The Durango Herald is reporting that as of yesterday, over 3,700 people have signed up for health insurance under Colorado's new online health exchange. And according to the Colorado Independent, over 52,000 people have signed up for accounts on the website. Connect for Health Colorado media rep Ben Davis told the Independent the site's average daily visitors have been about 11,700 people. Davis calls that number a substantial audience. The Independent compared those numbers to the launch of Massachusetts' so-called RomneyCare program from 2007, the healthcare system that was used as the model for Obamacare. Those numbers show that already more people are on track to be covered under Colorado's exchange than were in Massachusetts at the end of that state's first year of its new healthcare program. Yesterday, Colorado U.S. Senator Mark Udall praised the U.S. Forest Service's decision to not move forward with transferring water rights from ski areas in exchange for permits to use public lands. As the Post-Independent reports, the decision comes from a compromise Udall helped put together over the Water Rights Protection Act, sponsored by U.S. Rep. Scott Tipton. That bill aims to stop the Forest Service and the BLM from requiring the transfer of some private water rights before the agency would issue land use permits. Under Udall's proposed compromise, ski resort areas would be exempt from that trade-off. Water conservation groups oppose Tipton's bill, since the BLM and Forest Service policy is part of its attempt to conserve water across the Colorado River Basin that's often diverted to support skiing in resort towns. And finally, a bill that would raise fines on trucks illegally crossing Independence Pass near Aspen is moving forward at the state legislature. As the Aspen Times reports, House Bill D would raise the current $500 fine to $2,000 and would add two license suspensions for each violation. Oversized trucks and vehicles aren't allowed to use the pass at any time. The bill was approved by the Legislative Council yesterday and now moves into the next legislative session, which starts January 8th and runs through May 7th. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. Stay tuned for the KVNF Sports Report coming up next. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
Greetings. This is Eric Gould with your KVNF Regional Sports Report for Friday, November 15th. Four prep football teams in the listening area are advancing deep into the playoffs, and each faces a pivotal challenge this week in their quest for a state title. The number one team in 4A, Montrose, gutted out a 31-25 first-round victory at home last Saturday over the visiting Montbello Warriors. Mike Rocha pounded out 96 rushing yards and scored three touchdowns for the Indians, who also saw senior Angelo Youngren return from injury and rush for 186 yards in the victory. The Indians play host to Denver South at Montrose High School tomorrow at 1 p.m. in second-round action. The Delta Panthers pulled off a huge win in the 3A playoffs last week, beating Holy Family 42-41 in overtime, after Cade Gafford threw a touchdown pass to Ryan Whiteside. Abraham Ontiveros, who joined the football team after the soccer season ended, kicked the extra point that ended up being the difference in the game. Delta will play at a familiar foe, Western Slope rival Glenwood Springs, in tomorrow's second-round game at 1 p.m. Paonia continued its season with a 31-15 win at home over Monte Vista last weekend. Senior Will Austin ran for 221 yards and two touchdowns in the win, and juniors Joel Siminer and Logan Schopp each scored a touchdown and played dominant defense for Paonia's victory. The Eagles advanced to a 1A state semifinal contest against Buena Vista. The undefeated Demons have been the number one team in 1A for the entire season. Their last loss came 1 year ago in the state championship game against Cedar Edge. The Demons and Eagles kick off tomorrow at 1 p.m. in Buena Vista. Last but certainly not least is Norwood, which advanced to today's eight-man state semifinal matchup against Dayspring Christian Academy. The Mavericks have won eight games in a row. Norwood blasted West Grand 48-0 and beat Kiowa 12-6 last week to advance to tomorrow's semifinal contest in Greeley, which begins at 1 p.m. And that concludes your KVNF Regional Sports Report for Friday. Please tune in to KVNF today at 9 o'clock, when Friday Morning Music Mix DJ P. Gibby and myself will interview Paonia head football coach Brent McCray live in studio before the Eagles travel to Buena Vista for their semifinal tilt. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould saying good luck to all the teams in our listening area, and thanks so much for listening.